Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Thanks for tuning in to Finding True Wealth. I am your host, Nick Hopwood. And today we have a very special guest, Keith Lawrence, is joining us. Keith and his partner, Alan Spector, co-authored Your Retirement Quest, 10 Secrets for Creating and Living a Fulfilling Retirement. I first met Keith at an investment / planning conference several months ago in Chicago, where he was a panelist in one of the breakout sessions. I was really fascinated with his thoughts on living a fulfilling life in retirement. I immediately bought the book when I got home, and I really loved it. And I've been handing the book out ever since to people who are basically thinking about retiring soon. So I'm super excited to speak directly with Keith, and even more excited to share the discussion with you. Hopefully, you enjoy the conversation.
Well, I'd like to welcome Keith Lawrence to Finding True Wealth. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. We're a pleasure to be with you today.
Great. Keith partnered with Alan Spector and co-wrote Your Retirement Quest, 10 Secrets for Creating and Living a Fulfilling Retirement. And Keith, why don't you let us know how you came up with the idea of researching and writing the book and a little bit about you and Alan.
Well, glad to do so, Nick. It's been an interesting journey. Both Alan and I were executives at the Procter & Gamble company, and this quest began over 20 years ago. Both of us were observing, particularly myself being in human resources, folks that would be leaving the company at a relatively young age, and within 6 months or so, they would be wandering the hallways in the middle of the day because either they were bored or lonely or their wife kicked them out of the house. We also had a large contingent that would come into our cafeteria every morning of retirees and spend a good part of the day there meeting with folks, again, because they had nothing to do or they're lonely. And it led me to question, is this really what retirement looks like? So that began the journey, frankly, in the spirit of just personal learning to reach out to others that were retired and pick their brains and, you know, what was working, what wasn't. And that's what led us, Alan and I, about 7 years ago, to start doing workshops just basically in the spirit of giving back to the community, because we had interviewed at that point hundreds, now thousands of people to share what the secrets were that we had picked up. And then about after the second workshop, people came up to us and said, hey, where's the book? Because my husband's not here and he needs to read it. And so that's what led us to write the book, and we've been pleasantly surprised how well it's done since then.
It sounds like Procter & Gamble is a great place to work if people were coming back to the cafeteria and wandering the hall.
Well, it's a great company, and folks were able to retire at a relatively young age. I think the average age at that point was about 55, and people were very financially secure, and I think it illustrates one of the key points we'll talk about today. It's much more than just the money. You really need to have, as I believe you do, Nick, so well with your clients, a holistic approach to planning, not just focused on the financials.
Yeah, I try to make this podcast about, I call it Finding True Wealth, and I think you call the term, rather than true wealth, fulfillment, but I think they're, you know, it's the same idea and concept. And it's definitely more about the money. And I think there's some sections of your book where you talk about how the measure of happiness has very low correlation, almost no correlation with how much money you actually have.
Well, that's true. And that's not just, you know, Alan and I's findings. I mean, that's lots and lots of study, including the Gallup organization, that shows that, you know, a large part of our happiness comes from other things. You know, we almost called our book The Best Things in Life Are Free, but we decided not to because some folks interpreted that as cheap hotels in Hope, Florida on retirement, and that's not what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. But the research shows only about 10% of our happiness comes from the material side, the financial side. And we find virtually every day, Nick, you know, people, you know, struggle in retirement because they run out of meaning before they run out of money.
Interesting. So you witness people coming back to P&G, and it makes you start thinking, and you start doing some research and interviewing. You interviewed a lot of people, and it sounds like the objective of the book was to kind of bring this idea of retirement is more than sitting on the beach to people's top of mind. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's several myths about what retirement looks like. And again, part of this is just driven by our culture in large aspect. But, it's the Carnival Cruise myth. It's just, I can't wait to retire so I can go lay on the beach in Florida, play golf, and have a great time. And while there's a time and place for that in retirement, we saw, frankly, a lot of folks that would, in fact, I know personal examples of folks that would pack up their bags at 4:30 last day, jump in the car, move to their place in Florida, and within 6 months they were back because they got down there and realized, oh my gosh, to your point, there's more to true wealth than just sitting in the sun.
And you talk a lot about practice retirement. So it sounds like if a person finds themselves in that position where they're heading to Florida and then coming back in 6 months, they really didn't do any practicing.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you bringing that up. That is a really unique concept. There were a few things that we came along, several things, but certainly that's one of them, of this concept called practicing retirement. And the idea is really simple and pretty powerful. And think about what you might want to do in retirement. And while you're still working, set aside some time, it could be even an hour a month, to go practice it, to go do it, because you may find out you don't particularly care for it, and therefore you might reevaluate what your plans are. And it's really, really important because you need to have something to retire to versus just something to retire from. If you don't have that clear vision of what you're going to do more than just play golf every day, again, that's when some of the challenges and some of the downsides of retirement we saw that, frankly, were really surprising to us. And that's what we're trying to prevent, is hopefully folks not getting in caught into those traps by, to your point, practice retirement ahead of time.
Yeah, I think that, there's a certain fear I witness with certain clients where they definitely have enough money and they're definitely burned out from work, but they will not pull the trigger on retirement because of the fear of, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And that's scary for some people.
Well, it is. I think a lot of fear, people get stuck in, to your point, in their current state because they're not sure what the future looks like. And, that's why we came up with the four questions to decide when is the right time to retire. You just mentioned three of them. Do I have enough? In other words, do I have enough money? Had I have enough, I'm burned out and don't enjoy what I used to be doing. But importantly, the third point, which you just mentioned, is do I have enough to do to keep me energized and fulfilled and growing for not just the first 6 months of retirement, but for the next 20, 30 years. And then importantly, the last question is, again, if you're with someone, do they want you around more often? And we may laugh at that, but unfortunately, the baby boomer generation has the fastest growing divorce rate right now. And part of that is because couples don't have, and they haven't had what we call the crucial conversations about what retirement might look like. So yes, to your point, you really got to practice retirement. Think of it more than just the money and spend some time figuring out what you want to do and particularly get aligned with your significant others around what that looks like.
Yeah, and you titled the book The 10 Secrets for Creating and Living a Fulfilling Retirement, but I'd like to ask you about the five stages of retirement that you've identified. Those really hit home for me. Of course, I'm only 37 and I'm not in any of the stages, really. Maybe you could say anticipation, but not so much for me, but with what I witnessed for my clients. What are the five stages? How did you identify them? And what can you teach us about them?
Well, that's another powerful thing we came across is that retirement is a journey. We did identify these five stages. Part of it was based on our own observations, but also there's a lot of great research out there by William Bridges and others that talk about the stages of transition. But I'll just quickly go through the five, and then folks can think about, they're listening to this call, what stage am I in? And then hopefully by practicing some of the things we'll talk about today, they can minimize the chance of getting stuck in one of the stages. But the first stage is all about anticipation. These are folks that are still working, but they are anticipating the day. In fact, I just met somebody yesterday who had on their iPhone the countdown app to retirement, and it was over 3 years away, but he was tracking every day, all right?
That's something new. I've never seen that yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of folks that have the countdown app, right? Some of them on their computer, iPhones, et cetera. It depends on who you're talking to, whether they're looking forward to that day or if there's their spouse, they might be dreading that day. But that's for a different webinar, I'm sure. But this is all about, I can't wait. Go ahead.
If someone has that app, okay, I think most people, if they're in that mindset, they have the vision of the future of being golfing every day or sitting on the beach every day, right? Maybe they haven't thought about it beyond just let me get to this day.
I think that's partially true, Nick. I think our experience in doing, you know, hundreds of workshops with thousands of people, I think the majority of them are focused on, I can't wait to just not do these negative things anymore. So I can't wait to not have to get up early in the morning, to drive in traffic, to shave or put my makeup on every day, to deal with so-and-so that I really don't like. I think they're more anticipating and excited about what they won't have to do versus crystal clear on what they're going to do.
Okay, got it.
Which is a problem, all right? So that's the anticipation stage. My guess is majority of the folks that are probably dialing in here or listening to this are in that stage. But then the big day comes along. You get your gold watch. You have the, not that anybody does that anymore, but metaphorically you retire and you move into the honeymoon stage. And this is when you're hopefully enjoying not having to do all those things we just talked about. And to your point, you know, enjoying some of the things that we were aspiring to do, play golf. I just had someone talk about he's going to watch Fox News all day. Not that I would anticipate looking forward to doing that in the honeymoon stage, but that's what he wanted to do, to keep track of, you know, what's going to happen in the new administration. So,
all the election coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but this is the honeymoon stage, and it typically lasts 12 to 18 months. Some individuals, much, much shorter. I had a very good friend of mine who had a great career that didn't, frankly, spend much time thinking about what he was going to do. So I called him up on his first day of retirement. I said, congratulations, Bill. How you doing? And he goes, I feel like I'm at my funeral. Mm-hmm. So he had already moved on to the third stage, which is, again, the stage where some of the risks that we're talking about, and that's the whole stage of disenchantment. This is after you play golf every day for 6 months and you go, is this all there is to retirement? Is this what I have worked 30, 40 years all about? This is the stage when crazy things happen. We've had individuals that we interviewed, you know, fought with their spouse for 2 years about who was going to get the mail every day. And so this is when, again, because if you don't have this holistic life plan that defines true wealth, to use your term, this is when some of the risks of watching too much TV, depression, unfortunately, the highest suicide rate in our country right now are the men over the age of 70, loneliness, divorce. So again, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that if people do have a plan and they're proactive about it, they can minimize the risk of entering this disenchantment phase.
Keith, the biggest surprise that I had when I was reading your book was just that this disenchantment stage and the depression rate and the suicide rate, I really couldn't believe it. I wasn't as surprised about the divorce growth rate, but the depression rate and suicide rate, you just don't see that every day in the news. You know, you see it for the teenagers, but not for the retirees. Was that a big surprise during your research?
It was, and I appreciate you bringing that up. And it continues to get reinforced every day. I was just interviewing the CEO of one of the most highest net worth retirement facilities in Florida, minimum $5 million net worth to enter their facility. And I said to him, I said, you know, what's the residence like there? Tell me what they're about. He goes, they're depressed, a very high suicide rate, very high divorce rate. And he said to me in closing, we don't talk about any of that. It's the hidden underside of not planning for retirement. So again, just so we're clear, retirement is phenomenal. I mean, personally, we've been enjoying that now for many years after retiring from P&G 7 years ago. But it's, if you don't plan, you run the risk of some of the things that we just talked about.
Yeah.
So moving on to the fourth stage, which is, again, hopefully not going through the disenchantment phase, but this is all about rejuvenation. This is when you engage yourself and your significant others to think about what could I do differently, not just to have the leisure lifestyle of the Carnival cruises during retirement, but what could I do to pursue a new mission, leverage my gifts to make the world a better place, help others out, et cetera, redefine who I am. And there are countless stories of folks that have been able to do that that are very inspiring. I mean, there isn't a week that goes by I don't run into someone who's doing something. Just ran into one of the top neurologists here the other day in Cincinnati who retired, and we helped him through that. And now he's a patient advocate helping elderly with their healthcare visits because, one, he recognizes that the healthcare system is messed up. And secondly, at that age, they may not hear what the doctor's saying. They might not ask the right questions. And tell me, I'll tell you, he is on fire, and he's making a huge difference.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, and there's countless examples of that. I wish we had more time. But then the last stage is what we're aspiring in our dream, Ellen and I's dream for everyone, is the stage of fulfillment. This is where you're not only enjoying the fruits of your labors and having a great, you know, lifestyle, traveling the world, spending more time with family, caring for grandchildren, but also, you know, leveraging your passions and your strengths to meet a need somewhere in the world, and that's where you're going to get true fulfillment. So those are the five stages: anticipation, honeymoon, disenchantment, rejuvenation, and fulfillment.
And so some other terms that you describe in fulfillment is sense of purpose, having passion and energy, reengaging with community, deepening relationships, and going after personal growth and development, and like this idea of lifelong learning. Can you talk more about that for a minute?
Well, you covered a lot of ground there. You basically covered what we call the 10 keys to fulfilling retirement. To achieve that fifth stage of fulfillment, we identified 10 specific, what we call them, key elements, but these are critical dimensions to have in your life. So finances is certainly one of them, but it's only one of the 10. Others include, to your point, and I'll cover a couple of the highlight ones just in the spirit of our time here. One is all about connections, and this is all about having enough close friendships in life, because if you don't, all the research shows that you're not going to achieve fulfillment. Those that are lonely don't live very long and don't have a very fulfilling life. So one of the questions that we ask everyone in the workshops, which again, I think might be useful to folks, is all the research shows that you need to have, at a minimum, what we call 7, 2 o'clock in the morning friends. These are folks, Nick, that you could call up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I need you here. And no questions asked, they would be there. So I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot here. If you had to write that list down, do you think you'd have 7?
I think I might struggle with that. The 2 a.m. is, the 7 a.m. or the 2 a.m. 7 list. I'm struggling, Keith. How about you?
Well, I've been working on it for a while. I think I got to 7, but it's not easy, okay?
Yeah,
but you're not alone either. The average in the United States right now is 1.5.
Wow.
It used to be 3.
Okay.
And this is particularly an issue for men because most men have their relationships at work, and one of the surprises they will find, I know this is true for myself and many, many others, is that many of those friendships really aren't, they were just acquaintances. The minute you walk out the door, those friendships quickly evaporate. So one of the keys that we highly recommend folks spending time on is identifying more 2 o'clock in the morning friends. So one of the famous questions is, you know, who are you going to have ice cream with when you're 90? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that we talked about in particular is around having a sense of purpose. And again, this is more than just I'm going to be playing golf the rest of my life. This is about, you know, why are you here and what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And the question we ask folks is pretty simple, but it's a pretty powerful question that most folks don't have an answer to, but we think is critical. And the question we ask folks, imagine you're 85 years old someday, and one of your grandkids or your nieces or nephews comes up and they look up at you and they say, Grandma and Grandpa, what was your life all about? What sentence would you say to them that would make sense to them?
Yeah, I think a lot about that topic, and we have our blueprinting exercises that we go through. I go through them every year, which asks those kinds of questions about your personal mission and purpose, and you know what are your values, what's important to you, and you know I kind of break it down personally and professionally. And in the spirit of the retirement discussion, I'll point out my personal view. And since I have young children, I have a 9-year-old, 7-year-old, and a baby that's coming next month, what I think about in terms of purpose is raising these children to have strong values and to be able to make good decisions on their own. So when they're out of the nest, you know, in 10 years or more, when they're on their own and they're out in the world and they're facing a struggle, they're able to make the right decision on their own. And then I can feel good about myself, you know, with raising them right.
Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. Secondly, it's great to hear you've got a statement like that. And I really love what you talked about. I mean, kind of, I've heard that talked about before, raising eagles that can soar on their own, right?
Yeah.
But I also applaud you for doing that with your clients. Very, very few advisors do that kind of important work. And frankly, that's what many people need more than just figuring out the next investment strategy. So
what's the struggle with that blueprinting that we're talking about right now and having people go through the exercise is that what I find is that I can hand them the exercise, you know, the workbook, but very few people actually complete the exercise, and that's disappointing. So I'd like to figure out a way to inspire people better to actually and it's, you know, the thing is, it's a lot of work. And it makes you think, and sometimes that can be scary.
Yeah. Well, again, to your point, most people struggle with doing this because it's plowing uncharted territory, and it's a bit risky talking these kinds of topics. So, but we ask folks to establish accountability partners. So in the workshops or coaching that we do is find someone, it could be your spouse, it could be a best friend, whatever, and set a date and a time and hold one another accountable. All the research would show that most people don't do things on their own. They need somebody there to nudge them along the way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it can apply to all facets of life. If you have an accountability partner, you're much more motivated, I believe, to complete the task at hand.
Yeah. And it's great, again, Nick, that you're doing this with your clients because you can be one of their accountability partners in a loving but, you know, caring and demanding way, right? So because you're like, the only reason I'm doing this is to help you have your best life.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things we do is have accountability discussions with people all the time. So, Keith, what would be your call to action for folks that are already retired or, you know, they're planning, maybe they've got the app with the 3-year countdown. What would be your call to action to those different groups of people today?
Well, that's a great question. I think if you're just getting started, I would encourage you to do the following. There's a very simple tool called a bucket list. And, again, you may have seen the movie with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, but, you know, in that case, they talk about the things they want to do before they die. But again, what we suggest is just take out a blank sheet of paper and just dream, big or small, about all the things that you would love to do over the rest of your life. And again, we have found that to be, one, a powerful exercise for people to start thinking about possibilities more than just playing golf every day. Secondly, to stimulate conversations with family members about possibilities, which brings people closer together in many cases. And then third is, to your point earlier, it identifies opportunities to practice retirement. So draft a bucket list would be one. Number two would be, again, start having the crucial conversations. Engage those that are going to be impacted by your thinking about retirement and some of your decisions, and just start, you know, brainstorming with them. And say, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And again, that could be hard. That can be risky. But trust me, you want to be, you don't want to be in a situation like a person we ran into the other day who built a million and a half dollar house in the mountains of Tennessee, hoping his kids would come. They've never been there for 2 years because he never talked to them about, well, would you come visit us if I had a place in the mountains? So again, the second thing would be the crucial conversations. Nick, does that make sense to you? Would you add to that list?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think from my point of view as a financial professional, thinking about the financial security, but that we'll assume that that's already done. And, you know, gosh, if they're already retired or thinking about retirement, they can start with that bucket list, and it never hurts to consult with family and friends and loved ones. You know, there's one more question I wanted to ask you that I forgot earlier, and that is, you guys make the point in your book that retirement is the biggest one of the biggest transitions of people's life. It's a major life event, right? And, you know, it's kind of cliche, but, you know, people, they spend more time planning for vacation than they do for their retirement, so to speak.
So,
you guys, we talked for a minute about the things to do to say, am I ready to retire? But once you've made the decision and, you know, can you, and then the time is coming up and, you know, we've got, you know, a couple month countdown or whatever the case may be, you know, what can you talk about the transition during those actual days and maybe from your personal experience or what you've witnessed?
Well, that's again, you've got multi-pack questions here, right? So, but let me give you the 100-day countdown plan. How's that sound? Because we're listening to our new president's 100-day plan, right? But if this is a 100-day countdown, first of all is obviously make sure you have a financial plan that you feel good with and an advisor that you trust. I continue to be shocked in our workshops about how few people even have that basic one covered. So if you don't have a financial plan and a great advisor that's focused on your well-being, not just money, that's job one. Job number two is, you know, take time to say goodbye to people before you leave. So many people are just rushing to get out of because they want to get away from things. They forget of all the positive things about what they're doing at work, and they end up regretting it later on. They don't want to have a retirement party or whatever. And it's not just about you. It's giving others that care for you a chance to say goodbye. So that's the second thing. Number three I would suggest is spend some time just thinking about, well, I'm going to be retired in 100 days. What's my ideal day and what's my ideal week look like? Start thinking about what that's going to be because most people will find they need a little bit of structure to their life, because if you enter it cold, you will really struggle. You will, within a week or so, start questioning your decision. Oh, my gosh, did I retire? If you don't have some thinking about how you're going to productively fill your day. So those would be three things I would do. Financial plan and a trusted advisor. Make sure that you do a high-quality goodbye as you leave. And third, spend some time before you actually push the button thinking about their ideal day and ideal week. And if the opportunity allows itself, start practicing that.
Well, this is fantastic information from Mr. Keith Lawrence, who is the co-author of Your Retirement Quest, along with Alan Spector. And Keith, I bought like 20 copies of your book, and I've been handing them out. And I found them on Amazon.com, and they're very affordable. And it's definitely the best book about financial or about retirement that I have read, and definitely the best book that I've read this year as well. So great job, and thanks for coming on the show and sharing some ideas with us.
Well, Nick, thank you again for the kind words about our book. And secondly, thanks for the opportunity to spend time with you and your clients today. I hope it's been helpful. All the best.
Thank you, Keith.
I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Keith and I had. They've put together this fantastic resource for folks interested in joining the retirement discussion and conversation. And if you're interested in learning more, or if you want your complimentary copy of the book, please give me a call or visit us at peakwm.com, and the book is yours. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.